It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Did you have a chance to watch the U.S. Women's Open at Pebble Beach for the first time ever? Allison Corpuz wins with a 9-under par score of 279. She was the only player in the field to have every round under par. She beat out Charlie Hull and Ji-Ye Shin, who finished 3 shots behind her. Bailey Tardy and Nasa Hataoka tied for 4th at 3-under. The 3-shot lead by Corpuz, she was able to have a nice walk up the 18th fairway at Pebble Beach, and that is one of the greatest walks in golf. She also pocketed $2 million, the largest prize for winning a women's event in the history of the game. Allison Corpuz is your 2023 U.S. Women's Open champion. Here was her reaction after the round.
This is really a dream come true, and it was something I dreamed of, but at the same time, kind of just never really expected to happen. So just trying to take it in and enjoy the moment. I got off to a pretty good start, and I kind of figured, you know, just keep my head down, keep playing my game. Accidentally saw a leaderboard, I think on 14 or 15. But just tried to stick to the same game plan and just told Jay, you know, like, let's try to make a few birdies coming in and let's just bring it home.
And bring it home she did. The Kapolei, Hawaii native, is the second Hawaiian to win the U.S. Women's Open. Michelle Wee won it in 2014, 9 years ago at Pinehurst number 2. Michelle Wee West now played in this year's U.S. Open on a special exemption given to her by the USGA. She did not make the cut. She played in the same threesome with Annika Sorenstam on Thursday and Friday in the first 2 rounds. Sorenstam as well did not make the cut, playing on an exemption by the United States Golf Association. This is not going to be the only time that Pebble Beach hosts the U.S. Women's Open. It is going to be back there in the future. Coming up on this edition of From the Short Grass, I travel across the river, the Arkansas River, to Burns Park Golf Course in North Little Rock and sit down with longtime PGA head professional Steve Ralston. The Ralston name is known throughout the state of Arkansas and the country in golf, and you are going to enjoy this interview. Blackman Auctions. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Find them on the web, blackmanauctions.com. Go there, look at their upcoming auctions, find one you might want to attend, and go. Blackman Auctions. Since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions, a great sponsor of From the Short Grass. We're back with Steve Ralston after this.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens. Member NYSE, SIPC.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. You all know by now I'm not a good golfer, but my son loves the game and he and I have been playing more. I've got my score down to, I've quit playing a scramble on every hole, I'm using the bunker rake much less than I used to, and a lot of the time I hit my drives past the women's tee box. All of my success in golf can directly be tied to me listening to From the Short Grass. Without it, I would not be the golfer I am today. Trey, you owe me $20 for that. Trey knows golf, I know auctions. Come see us at BlackmanAuctions.com. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. Steve Ralston always knew he wanted to be in the golfing business at a very young age, and he's been at Burns Park for the majority of that time. On the tee, head PGA professional of Burns Park Golf Course, Steve Ralston.
Mr. Ralston, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. When I think golf in Arkansas, the Ralston name just, I mean, it's right there at the forefront to me.
Well, I appreciate that. We've all tried pretty hard.
You have, and you've done good. Do you remember the first time you picked up a club, though?
Well, my father worked civil service for the Air Force, and we actually were on Guam from 59 to 65, and there was a nine-hole golf course up there, par three, and I used to go up and find golf balls and sell the balls, and that's how I bought my first set of golf clubs. But that's what I grew up, you know, spent about 3 years out there on that little par three golf course.
Grew up a businessman.
I guess that's where I got started.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, you're, you know, finding golf balls and selling them, and then you were able to get you a set of golf clubs. That sounds like a businessman to me.
Well, I guess it. Yeah, there's a Filipino man that ran the golf course named Pang. He got tired of seeing me hang around, so he actually put me to work out there too.
Oh, wow.
Just to keep, I guess, yeah, more to keep me out of his hair.
When you and Bob were growing up and your brothers, it's just that family is just known around the state and around the country as a golfing family. Were you not?
You know, we're all in the golf business, from Bob and Heath and Dustin to myself to my younger brother Joe. You know, golf is something that we've always trended to. Fortunately, we've always been pretty good players, which allowed us the opportunity to advance a little bit in the business.
Who was the best?
There was a time in the 70s and 80s when I first got out of college that I could give Bob a couple up a side. But about 85, Bob went by me, and, you know, Bob was one of the best ball strikers that I've ever seen.
That's what I've heard. I've heard that so many times, Mr. Ralston, about Bob is how good he could hit the golf ball and his swing. But it was between the ears that just had him flustered. Is that a good assessment?
Yeah. Bob was a perfectionist. He could be out playing and be 6, 7, 8 under and hit one bad shot, and he
would lose it.
I'm done. You know, go to the house.
Yeah.
You know, and it, I hate that. If he would have had, well, I've told people, if he'd had my head on his shoulders, you know, he could have gone a long way. And, you know, Glenn for years, Glenn Day, of course, is Bob's son-in-law. Glenn said for years that he was the only one who had a father-in-law that could beat him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that in watching him play some, and even watching you play, there's a lot of talent in the Ralston family when it comes to golf, and even competing against Heath growing up.
Heath's a good player.
I'm not slighting him at all. No, yeah. He is a good player. When you look back at it, what kept driving you to get to the course? Was it the fact that, hey, this is something to do? Because when you were growing up, I mean, golf was not as popular
as it
is now.
We grew up, my dad played baseball, and we grew up playing baseball. In fact, I've told this story a few times, but when we first moved here in late 65, I went to eighth grade for the last month or so out at Sylvan Hills, and I didn't know anybody. So my father worked at the air base. He's assistant base supply mm-hmm. out there, officer. Not knowing anybody, not having anything to do, I said, hey, I want to go. He would go to the golf course on Saturday mornings while we're still in school, every Saturday and Sunday. So I went out there and I met Rusty Williams, who is the golf pro. And I liked the way he dressed and he played golf. He was a good player. He started teaching me a little bit. And by the end of the summer, I started working for him and actually started opening and closing the golf shop for him on weekends. And that's where, you know, I got more into golf. And the next spring, my father said, Bob was playing for Dick Thoreau, who used to be a baseball legend here in North Little Rock. My just going into the ninth grade, you know, I didn't know anybody, didn't know when spring training or
sure.
all the stuff was in the spring for baseball. And I had actually got to where I really liked the golf situation. I liked working out there and having a little responsibility and learning some things.
Mm-hmm.
And that next March or April, my dad, who we affectionately call Grump because of his disposition. You know, some people say I inherited. I don't understand that. But Grump says, hey, where are you going to play ball? And I said, I'm not. I said, I really enjoy working at the golf course. And he said, no, you're going to play golf. And I said, play ball. And I said, no. And we had quite a discussion. And he didn't talk to me for a long time. He gave me a ride out to the air base, and he picked me up. But he wouldn't say too much to me. He was
really?
Disappointed.
Wow.
He really thought we could do something with baseball.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I found golf and you know, I just – there was something about it. It was more of a singular game. More responsibility on you for your own mistakes, you know, and I really enjoyed that.
When did you know maybe that time that you wanted to be in the golfing business and make it a career?
Well, not that early. Rusty moved out here in 67, moved to Burns Park, excuse me. He got the job, and that was kind of how I followed on his coattails out here. But he was here about 6 months and got squared away. And then he needed some help, and he called me and said, hey, would you like to come out here and start working for me? So in 68, I came out and started working behind the counter here at Burns for him. It was kind of then that I was learning more and more about it. I mean, the golf pros would get together every Monday back then. Excuse me, it started on a Friday back then and then transferred into a Monday, where they'd all get together and play. And I thought, man, that's kind of neat, you know. Of course, I stuck around here. I graduated in 70 from North Little Rock High. I really had my heart set at one time on going to Fayetteville, but I decided I was going to stick around and go to UALR, and that's where I went out and played for 4 years. And then when that was over, I actually went to a qualifying school with Jack Cheney and a guy named Jerry Clay and Bob. We all went down to Biloxi. And I was just kind of in awe of everything that was going
right,
on, you know,
right.
and watching, you know, a 20-year-old kid or 21. When it was all said and done, you know, I missed it by two shots or something. About that time, Rusty Williams' wife got sick. And he asked me if I'd accept a little more responsibility, helping him close and take care of things and that, and started doing it. And I really got to love the business end of golf. You know,
mm-hmm.
and running a golf course, learning about grasses, rules of golf, teaching, you know, and it all started blending together. So even though I'd gone to the qualifying school, I did that to kind of see how I stood, you know, or you know, just to say I did it. But my heart was still in looking at getting into golf business as a golf professional. And when Rusty's wife got sick and I accepted more responsibility, he worked about another 3 years, and during that time, his wife passed away, and after that, the city hired me as their golf professional.
And you've been here ever since?
Since 1978.
They can't get rid of you.
Well, I'm hope I'm doing a good enough job to stick around.
I think you are.
Well, thank you.
You look at the place, and I played it recently. Steve, I don't think I've ever seen as much grass on this golf course as I saw when I played it. In the tornado relief tournament.
No, never has been. We've really been working on that. We've been very fortunate. You know, Terry Hartwick was our park director back 3 years, the 4 years prior to the last three.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the last three, it's been Mayor Hartwick again. And, you know, he loves golf. He knows the advantages of having a good golf course in the city, how it attracts people. It's really increased our revenue, the improvements we've made, which has helped the entire park system. So, you know, the golf course, when we start talking about improvements, Terry's name's got to be right there at the top of it.
You mentioned the grass on the golf course. Steve, I remember one of the first times I played Burns Park in a competitive environment was high school. Mm-hmm. And I remember standing on the first tee, and I had butterflies in my stomach. I'm telling you, I didn't know what I was getting ready to do. But it's a challenging course set along, I guess you could say, the river.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, if it didn't rain a whole lot, there wasn't a lot of grass on the course.
No, it's the most of the championship side, probably 14 holes, are actually set on gumbo. And when if it doesn't have water and it gets, you know, high 90s.
And we're not talking about the good gumbo that you can eat.
No.
We're talking about the soupy, muddy, dirty that you can't get out of anything.
Yeah, and gets really hard. And, you know, the real thin grass, hard fairways, that ball would roll forever.
Ever.
But it could go in any direction when it got on the ground.
And it could go in a crevice as well. I mean, I remember seeing some cracks out here where you could lose a golf ball in the middle of the fairway.
I had a guy one time come in. He says, hey, pro, he says, I need you to bring a backhoe or something down to number 10. He says, I said, what happened? He says, well, my ball went down a crevice. And I said, I kind of interrupted him, which I shouldn't have. And I said, well, I can't get a backhoe out to go get a golf ball out of a crevice. He says, no, you don't understand. He says, I was fishing out with my 7-iron. It's down there.
So he's trying to get the ball out with his 7-iron, and now he's lost the 7-iron, and it's down there in the fairway. So what did you do?
We ended up going down. We didn't get a backhoe. We got a couple of shovels, and Doug didn't have to dig too deep. We grabbed the end of his club and pull it out. But that shows how deep some of them were. It was between 10 and 17 out in the rough, which got no water back
None
then.
Whatsoever. How many golf carts have you been through that have had mud issues?
Oh, just it's amazing what that gumbo will do to them.
When did you first bring the Arkansas Open to Burns Park?
1974. That's when I graduated from college, and I was rusty. Convinced me that I need to get in the PGA program as an apprentice, which takes about 3 years or a little longer before you can get your membership, going to business schools and passing a player's ability test and taking an oral exam. But we didn't have anything back there back in those days where the amateurs and professionals could compete against each other. So we talked about it, and he says, the Arkansas Open was once played in the mid-50s, the late-50s, in Hot Springs.
Okay.
Dutch Harrison, people like that. I think Palmer played down there once or twice. But then it went away. So we started out, and then I remember it was like $300 first place, you know.
Yeah.
and we had probably 24 golf pros playing then, you know. But, you know, we just kept it up, and over the years it's grown and grown. State Opens don't normally have the money that we're not anywhere near to the tour level.
Sure.
You know, we're small courses, smaller courses with smaller budgets. But what we do is we afford a lot of young players a place to go, you know, see what they can do to challenge themselves, win a little money, pay a few bills, and go a little farther in their career.
And there have also been some notable winners on the PGA Tour come and play, like Glenn Day.
Glenn Day, Ken Duke, this is where Glenn met Jennifer, you know, my niece.
Yep.
You know.
I've heard that story.
Yeah, she was giving him my golf carts for free.
She tells me that he walked in and she just thought, man, he is so good looking. And he said, honey, I don't have any money for a golf cart. Is there any way I can – next thing you know, he's got a golf cart all week for the Arkansas Open.
Mm-hmm.
And Glenn calls it apparently the most expensive golf cart he's ever had to pay for. She calls it the best investment she's ever made.
Yeah, I agree with both of them. But the other side of that, if he'd come in and said, hey, I need a cart but I don't have any money, I'd have given him one, you know.
Well, he wouldn't have married you.
No, I don't think so. He and Bob, not just being in-laws, that they were best friends, you know, and traveled a lot and played a lot of golf together.
And you don't get that a lot.
No.
Not these days.
We've been a real close family, you know, with Glenn, Bob, his family, my brother Joe, his family, Heath, Dustin, you know, and one reason is we all play golf. You know, we're around it. We see each other, a lot in common. You know, it's been good for us.
How much teaching do you do?
Not as much as I used to. I really, in the 90s and early 2000s, you know, we had some really big junior programs out here in that. The juniors, they've articulated to the country clubs where it's a little more relaxed atmosphere for them. And, you know, Burns Park is a little bit out of the way still.
When I was growing up, I mean, I remember the junior golf program here and competing against, because I grew up playing Rebsman. You could almost see it across the river. But it was Little Rock, North Little Rock. I mean, we had some good battles.
Yeah. You know, there was a study done about 2000. Everybody used to be, they'd play one golf course. You know, 90% of their golf would be at Burns Park or across the river. They say, when they say, where do you play? Well, I play at Rebsman or I play at Hindman. There wasn't a lot of the intermixing. But then in the 2000s, you started getting a lot more golf courses around, you know, Greystone, the Lindsay golf courses. Mm-hmm. I think in 2002, if you went as far as Hot Springs, there are 43 courses you can get to in 40 minutes now from Little Rock to play golf.
It's almost like it was overpopulated or oversaturated, I guess.
Well, there were a lot of courses that have closed, you know.
Yeah.
The Plantation, you know, out at Mall Mill closed down, and, you know, there's been half a dozen of them. And then the new two from Little Rock, which that really helped us.
Yeah, it helped you guys a lot. Back to the Arkansas Open. I mean, it's an open. Anybody can play.
Anybody can play, professional, amateur, or even somebody that's trying to get their amateur status back. They can play under the category of amateur for reinstatement. They can't win any gift certificates or prize money or whatever, but they can pay an entry fee and compete and see how well they do.
And you have a pro-am as well before that?
Correct. Got a lot of good people here in town that have helped support the tournament. And what we do is on Friday, we have a pro-am for the sponsors. And most of the golf professionals that play in the tournament, you know, help support it. We'll have one golf pro and three amateurs on each team. And then, of course, the Arkansas Open itself, we did about 8 years ago, went to a 36-hole venue where we play 18 Saturday and 18 Sunday.
Do you like that format?
You know, for the young kids that are traveling, you know, if you go to that one extra day, it's considerable expense. It could be in the $300 or $400 range for them to spend one more day away from home, on the road, in a hotel, eating. So we found that going to the 2-day tournament, actually we got a few more players.
If anybody is listening to this and they want to play, how do they sign up?
We say anybody's eligible. They do have to have an 8 or less handicap.
Okay.
We ask that. So, you know, we got to control the quality of the field.
And the pace of play.
And pace of play, correct. That's the big thing, is getting people around. We'll have entries available. The Arkansas Open this year is going to be the Pro-Am on the 29th of September. Then the 30th of September and the 1st of October will be the 36-hole championship. Any golf professional or amateur with an 8 handicap or less are more than welcome to sign up.
And this will be the 50th?
50 years.
Arkansas Open.
We've been doing it, yeah.
Wow.
I don't know where the years have gone.
I was going to say.
Kind of flew by.
Because you don't even look 50 to me.
Well, thank you.
Best golf course Steve Ralston's ever played?
I'd have to say it's the Bears Club down in West Palm. I've had the opportunity to play it a few times with Glenn. And Glenn and Mr. Nicholas have always been good friends. And it's immaculate. It's, you know, and it's one hard golf course.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's going to be Mr. Nicholas's course, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Do you like hard courses?
Yes. I really do. That I've always played, it seems like I played my best golf on hard courses, and for some reason 70 and 71 pars courses have always, I've always scored better on them. I I don't understand the relationship in that, but
fantasy foursome, you and three others, living or deceased, that you would like to play a round of golf with.
Well, at this point, since we lost Bob, you know, a couple of years ago, I think, you know, everybody, I knew you were going to ask that question. I've thought about it a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd like to say the Palmer Nicklaus end of it, but I think playing again with Bob, with Glenn, and my brother Joe would be pretty special.
That would be very special. Who would win? Could you get in Bob's head?
Oh, hell yeah. I had him thinking for 15 years. Both our nines out here end on par fives. And Bob, for some reason, when he was playing good, if he messed up a hole, it was always a par five. And, you know, he could lay up right in front and have a little pitch, just pitch a little wedge in there, make birdie on most of them. But he tries to go for them, or used to try to go for them, get it in trouble, make a six, and then he's mad for four or five more holes.
Yeah.
But I'd always, you know, in finishing, I'd always say, hey, if this wasn't a par five, I'd be worried.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Mr. Rawson, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Trey, thank you.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. When you call Blackman Auctions to sell your assets, you begin a multi-point plan to get the highest value possible. Each auction takes 30 to 45 days of planning and strategic marketing for your real estate, your equipment, and your assets. You've worked hard for your property, and it deserves more than a sign in the yard or a post on the internet. Sometimes marketing is more than just a commercial with a great-sounding spokesman. Call me. Let me come up with a plan to tell your story and turn your assets into money. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels, on the web at bphotels.com.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass. Need to thank one of our great sponsors, Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. Matthew Allen, Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you go to their website, bphotels.com, find one of their great properties, and book. That's all you need to do. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, a great sponsor of From the Shortgrass. All right, listen up. There is a professional golf tournament coming to Central Arkansas next week. It will start on Wednesday, the 19th of July, and run through Saturday, July the 22nd. It is a women's professional golf tournament as part of the Women's All-Pro Tour. The Genesis of Conway Central Arkansas Open will take place at Centennial Valley Country Club in Conway. Mike Smith is the head pro at Centennial Valley. April Worley is the tournament director. If you want to watch up-and-coming women's golf, go to Centennial Valley Country Club next week, and you can watch the professionals play. There's also a junior pro-am that will take place on Monday, July 17th, where junior golfers can play with the pro for a nine-hole match followed by lunch. The cost of that is only $75 for participation. For more information, go to the following website, centralarkansasopen.com. That will do it for this edition of From the Short Grass. Thanks, as always, for listening. And a reminder, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Shortgrass.
You've been listening to From the Shortgrass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.